We appreciate being here. It's an honor and privilege to be in service y'all again. We got some scripture you'll find in Haggai, the first chapter, and then read some in Psalms, the 127th Psalms. And you just bear with us that we get in the hands of the Lord and do what He wants us to do. I could leave now saying it's been good to be at the house of the Lord, but we're going to try to do what the Lord wants us to do, and you pray for us that we get in the hands of the Lord. But in Haggai, it says, in the second year of Darius the king, the second month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zulamis, the son of Shentil, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehoiada, the high priest, saying, thus speak the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, this time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sowed much and brought in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earns his wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, that I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, says the Lord of hosts. You look for much, and lo, it comes to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, says the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is wasted, and you run every man into his own house. Therefore the heavens over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I call for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground brings forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all that labor of the hand of thy hands. Thus Jeroboam, the son of Shedeel, Shentil, some of these words you have to overlook me, and Joshua, the son of Jehoiada, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obey the voice of the Lord, their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord that their God has sent him. And the people did hear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's messenger unto the people, saying, I am with you, said the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit. I'll just 127 Psalms. I ain't that good of a reader, but you just have to bear with me. But it says in the 127th that it says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walks but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to set up late, to eat the bread of sorrow, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Low children are inheritance of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Arrows are in the hand of the mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemy in the gate. And if I have a thought, it would be, the Lord, this is a beautiful building. This is a beautiful house of God. But even in the children of Israel's day, they had goat skin dyed with red. They had all that matters. They had blue and purple. They had all that, and they didn't look good on the outside. But I went when God went in it, and how he came and put his name on it, they worship. I want you to know that if we want men, women, boys, and girls to be saved, this is the house that God built. And a lot of people say about famous people, that it was the house that they built, because they belonged to it. I belong to Dry Creek. That's where I got saved. 10 years down the road, he told me to go join Stoners. I was there 9 years. Then he told me to go way down to Fayetteville, 80-something miles from my house. But I want you to know that's how God works. If he wants you here, that's where you should be. I ain't telling you to leave. I'm not telling you to back up. God built a building. God built a church. In our everyday life, he's building something in you. What you can be. I'm a towel. I got a little bow hand and a little gold boy. A little this and a little that. Maybe temple in me. But I want you to know I am what I am. Ever since I got married, 20 years we're married. They tried to change me. I want you to know there ain't too much changing in me. I've been by the grace of God. I am what I am. I ain't nothing different. I am what I am by grace of God. He built me, and that's what it is. You might come with your girlfriends, you might come with your boyfriends. How about the nitty gritty of it is, and the crunch time is, God wants you to be a part of this. He told his father-in-law, come and go with us. Moses said, come and go with us. We'll do you some good. That's what the church wants to do, is do you some good. There's two things growing up. We weren't going to miss school. We tried to be sick. They wouldn't know two things about it. We was going to church or we going to school. They wouldn't two things about it. In the 70s, we was in the ball fields. And we did all that. I went a few times to Dry Creek. I went Fred Coker. But when we got in church, we was there. We was first one there and the last one to leave. Many times we said, do we have to cut the lights off this time? Once I got in it, I loved it. At school or church or whatever, I loved it. You get a part of this, you'll love it. Because God wants you to know it. A lot of people say, let everybody be married and all this. Preachers used to say all the time, narrow the coverings and shorten the bed. They wanted you to get in trouble. They wanted you to know that you was lost. God never did anything in the corner, never did anything secret. Everything that he did was wide open. Now, I tell you what, you may not love these people. But I tell you what, you give God the chance. Even in that 34th Psalms, it says, try the Lord, see that he ain't good. You try another thing. The Lord is good, and he's going to be good until the end. When the end comes, you're going to hear these famous words. Enter in, you my faithful servant, for the joys of heaven. Are you going to say, depart from me? You say, preacher, I don't believe a just God. I'm on here to tell you, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, they change not. They're the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow. You might have to put a paint job on this church, whether it's siding, whether it's brick, carpet, hardwood, or whatever. Years are going by, brother. Bruce was saying 40 years. I tell you, I tell people all the time. They ask me. I work at a school now. Worked at City of Carsville 26 years. Retired there. We moved down. I wanted to move up this way. My wife had another. She had another plan. I'll just put it like this. They kept on asking me, Jeff, you gonna be happy? I said, what about the Lord? Is he going to be happy? I said, to give me a job. People ask me all the time how old you are. I tell them 25, but I ain't ashamed. I'm 58, but I praise the Lord. He saved me when I was a little boy, 14 years old, and I'm saved now and still saved. He put something in me. I am glad my wife and daughter, she ain't saved. She's 13. She's asking questions. We want her to get saved. And all that is about the Lord being happy. I tell you what, the problem with down there is the limited of how many churches worship like we do. They, a lot of them people in them. A lot of them is wrong doctrine. There's a wrong kind. I don't believe every time we talk about heaven that it's all going to be about Baptist. But I want you to know I didn't choose Baptist first, but I got saved. And I believe you won't find just Baptists up there. People that get saved, Church of God, Church of Christ, Catholic. But on the other hand, I don't believe that it's just going to be people that murder somebody that's going to be in hell or lake of fire. Say, preacher, are we judges? I tell you, I can tell a fruit by just looking at it, by tasting it, knowing that it's an apple, knowing it's a peach, knowing it's a strawberry. We're not judging you, but we want you to be a part of this. This microphone might take you before I get done, but I tell you what, I'm trying. But what it is it's not what we can do for you, but it's what God can do you. It wasn't all about what he did, but it was all about who he was, and what he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he changes not, and he's always going to be there for you. I mean, he's there or not, he's always going to be there. It's no big I, a little you. I was hard-headed, stubborn, two left feet. But the Lord still wanted me. My granddaddy never knew my mother's father and mother. She died, her dad died when she was 4. Her mother died when she was 19. Never met them. But my dad's dad, he was a preacher all my life. Farmed until before I got along. Run service stations and a paper route. And about the time I was 14, I helped him one summer in a paper route. And the last turn, he didn't say very much. Chewed tobacco. He said, Jeff, don't you want to be saved? And I said, Papa, I want to be saved. He said, you go to the altar. I'll be there. Sure enough, Harold Owens was our pastor. One Sunday night, there's people in the altar. I saw an avenue. Sure enough, I went to that altar. Sure enough, my papa was there. That night, I just cried. Felt good for a couple days, but then I realized I was lost. Then came along Randy. I tell you, there was a lot of times he looked like he was looking through me. But I tell you what, he was preaching the gospel. I couldn't get around it. It wasn't Randy. It wasn't fractions. It wasn't my hard-headed daddy that I couldn't get around. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. You ain't going to get around him. You say, preacher, I'm going to leave this church and I'll be done with it. It went with me. I don't know that many times I went out the door crying. I went out the door not wanting anybody to see us crying. Many times I'd cry. I was too ashamed to wake up mom and daddy. I said, Lord, I know I didn't go this night. I know I didn't go this Sunday. Give me another opportunity. I dream. And the dream I had was I was falling off a cliff. And right before I hit bottom, I jerked up. There's a revival coming around. Brother Ellis Carrot was running the revival. Now me, I sung in the choir every time we met. I went to Sunday school every time we met. I went to Vacation Bible School. I went to every revival. My dad was a deacon. My dad was a Sunday school teacher. He led singing and he sung in a group. They wasn't two things about it. We was going to church. Whether we wanted to or not, we was going to church and all this. Ellis Count ran our revival. I sung in the choir and I sat on the back bench with Everett Cook, and his name was Lee Fletcher, but my dad called him Chicken Neck. Both of them went to the altar. Both of them confessed that they got saved. I didn't go. But my dad said, don't sit on the back bench. My mother was a monitor. She sat on the third bench on this side. My dad was in the amen corner. She was a watcher. We could sit anywhere we wanted. But if we talked or did anything, she'd look at us and then she'd point. Sometimes she'd come back there. Sometimes we had to walk in front of the whole audience to the amen corner. I only did it a couple times. My brother, it was like a drama when he had to do it. But I tell you what, I couldn't tell you what Ellis Carrot preached. I couldn't tell you who preached or what they preached. From Sunday night to Saturday night, I was lost. There's people that got saved Tuesday. There's people that I knew Monday. I wanted to get saved more than anything before Wednesday. They was going to have Young People's Day. I wanted to be a part of it. I might be a part of the Tao family. I might have Gobo in me. I might have Temple in me. I might have Bohannon in me. But one thing is about it is I want everybody to know I'm a part of the Tao. I'm part of God's family. The Henson used to sing a song. I came along and there was football fans. I came along and there was country fans. Came along and there was rock and roll fans. But then they came along and saw that they was Jesus fans. Oh, do you know the Lord as your personal Savior? It's not what mama says. It's not what daddy says. But it's about you. It's about what you have in your portfolio. in your resume, you know, they told Peter and John they was ignorant, unlearned. They took notice that they've been with Jesus. In the day that we're living in, crunch time and nitty gritty, can people tell that you've been with Jesus? That you've been to church? Not just me. I ain't nothing. Never will be nothing, but Jesus is everything. I know Randy preached a couple nights of that revival. But honestly, I couldn't tell you what they preached. I know I was going down to a devil's hell without a hope. You know what the devil was saying? You got Sunday and Sunday night and Wednesday. You know what the Lord was saying? I was standing next to my mother on the third bench, had my foot out. We're building a church, not Mountain View, not Stoner's Chapel Baptist Church, not Dry Creek, not Community, where I had to go 80-something miles one way. I met my wife down there, but that won't cost you nothing. But I tell you what matters is, I told him, coming down, I had meeting coming to church, I want your will be done. I want your will be done. I want your will be done. I was looking around. They kept on giving the altar call, giving the altar call, giving the altar call. Pastor's mother came over and said, "Jeff, don't you want to be saved?" I hit that altar and I got genuine born again. My dad said, 3 years down the road, I told him, I said, "Lord, just save me. Whatever you'd have me to do." 3 years down the road, he called me to preach. I'm not no good preacher. I'm not no good Christian, but what I am is, I am what I am by the grace of God. And ever since I got saved, I wanted other people to get saved. I wanted other people to get in trouble. I realized that they're lost and going down to a devil's hell without a hope in this world. And the only hope you got is Jesus. Because really, when it does come to crunch time and nitty gritty, we're not our own. Even lost people. You know, you got a devil's hell or a lake of fire waiting on you. Say, "Preacher, I don't believe that's real." I want you to tell you, the devil is not in a red suit with pitchfork. He could be the very person that you're friends with. I'm going to tell you that the devil is mighty. He's crafty. He's a deceiver. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, he'd destroy any of us. Amen. He'd love to destroy this church. He'd love to destroy your marriage. He'd love to get between you and your children. He'd love to get in your neighborhood and all this. The devil come to steal, kill, and destroy. But what did the Lord come? He came and brought life and more abundantly. He wants to give you. He wants to multiply you. We're the branches, and he's the vine. He wants to purge you that you might bring forth much fruit. He wants to multiply you. I tell them, I work at school, they want to mold them minds of them little children. And the day that we're living in, It's not arguing the scripture. It's getting to know the scripture. Sunday school, vacation, Bible school, revival. Let your children be in this sanctuary. Let them hear the word of God. Let them hear you shout. Let them hear you testimony. Let them know that you're ready to go to meeting. We tried to every ailment and every disease to try to get out of school and out of church, but once I got involved, once I got to liking it, I wanted it more and more and more, and I still are like that. We live, hate to tell you, we lived around Fayetteville, Benjamin Drive, at her mom and daddy's house. I called it Egypt. We live further down south. Now we live in Jackson. Tell people I want Moses to bring us out. But I tell you what the key to all that is, I want the Lord's will be done in my life, my wife's life, my children, my kids' life, and everyone that I come in contact with. Haggai was talking about building. You know what he was talking about? Go up and get the wood. And go and build a house or a church that I would take pleasure in. You know what the Lord told the devil? When it came to Job, he lost everything. Got sores on him and all this. Every time the devil presented himself, the devil, he said, the Lord asked the devil, where you been going? He said, to and fro and up and down. But every time he said, have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered my servant Job? When your children makes A's and B's or C's and D's, when they want to put their little crafts on your refrigerator, honor them, praise them, and all this. That's all the Lord was doing to Job. Have you considered my servant Job? That he excused evil, that he still holds on to his integrity. In the day that we're living in, they took him and put sores on him to the bottom of his head, to the bottom of his feet, and all this. And he got in sackcloth and ashes and never cursed God, but cursed the very day that he lived. In the day that we're living in, that's what God wants to do in your life. He wants to change you to a better person. He knew I was hard-headed. He knew that I was stubborn. He knew that I had two left feet, but he still wanted me. And the day that we're living in, he still wants you. Amen. We're going to ask Bruce to come around. The day we're living in, except the Lord built it, you build in vain. I say all the time, if you're in sin, there ain't nothing wrong with sin. The only thing wrong with sin is staying in sin when you got opportunity to get out of sin, to change your life for a better person. The day we're living in, there's two things I didn't want. I didn't want somebody to demand my check and hit on me. Luckily, neither one of them has happened. The day we're living in, I'm glad I'm this side of the grave and still tell people that Jesus saves. We're going to ask Bruce to come around. We're going to ask the congregation to stand up. If you need to pray, you come.